Welcome to Zichu Daf Si Mani Member by Avram Goldhar, and today Masechus Makos, Daf Yod Ches, the third Perek Elohein Elokin. The Zichu Masechus program has been generously sponsored by Milestone Education as a schus for Hachzakas HaTorah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava said, Zarsha Achol Mino Ola Lifnei Zrika Chutz Chochoma. If a non-Kohen eats from an Ola before Zrika, outside the wall of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Shimon lo kachamesh. According to Rabbi Shimon, he receives five sets of malchus. Number one, he ate kachim outside Yerushalayim. Number two, he ate it before Zrika. Number three, he ate as a zar who cannot eat even after Zrika. Number four, he ate it outside the walls of the base of Mikdash. And number five, he ate from an ola which can never be eaten. The Gemara before clarified that Rabbi Shimon, as well as Rava, is referring to multiple prohibitions, not actual sets of malchus, since malchus cannot be derived from a kal v'chomer. The Gemara said Rava should have mentioned other prohibitions, and after the first two are answered, it asks that he should have included the prohibition taught by Rabbi Eliezer that anything whose rule is kol yel tiyeh, it shall be completely burned, including an ola, is included in that pasuk's prohibition against its consumption, osei achel. The Gemara concludes that Rava was only enumerating prohibitions derived from the specific pasuk darshan by Rabbi Shimon. Pointing to Rava's quote saying that a kohen who ate from a chatas or asham before Zrika incurs malchus because the pasuk says, "Ba'achu osam asher kupar behem," they who received atonement through them shall eat them, implying they may only be eaten after kapara, meaning after Zrika, but they may not be eaten before kapara, and lav haba mekhorase lavu, a negative commandment implied by an ase is considered a lav and incurs malchus. Rava proves, however, that a lav implied by an ase is not considered a lav. Therefore, the Gemara amends Rav's statement to be that a zar who ate from a chatas or ashim before Zrika is pater from malchus, even for a zar's prohibition to eat kachikachim. The pasuk before, which contrasts the Kohen's permit to eat with the zar's prohibition, implies koheka de karinim be ba'achu osam asher kupar behem. Wherever we can apply the words "they who received atonement through them shall eat them," meaning kohanim can eat it, karinim be v'zar lo yochol kodesh. We apply the words "but a non-kohen shall not eat, for they are holy." But wherever a kohen may also not eat, for example, before Zrika, the zar's prohibition does not apply. And point number three, Belezer said in the name of Hoshaya regarding Bikurim that Hanacha, placement before the Mizbeach, is critical to the mitzvah, but the Kriya is not. The Gemara asks that this contradicts another statement of Belezer in Rabbi Hoshaya's name. Hifrish Bikurim Kodem Al-Chag. If one separated Bikurim before Sukkos, Ba'avar Alehen Ha-Chag, and Sukkos passed without the Bikurim being brought, Yirkavu, they are left to rot. Since they were initially eligible for Kriya before Sukkos, the period of joy mentioned in the Pasuk, and now they are not eligible for Kriya, the mitzvah can no longer be performed. This proves that Kriya is essential to Bikurim. The Gemara answers that this follows Rabbi Zera's principle, Koharui Labila, any mincha fit for mixing the flour and oil, in Bila Ma'akevasbo. The mixing is not critical, and the mincha is valid without it. But any mincha which is unfit for mixing, because of an incorrect proportion of flour to oil, Bila Ma'akevasbo. The mixing is critical to it, and the mincha is invalid. Here too, although actual Kriya is not essential to Bikurim, if it's not eligible for Kriya, the Bikurim become disqualified. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rava said, Zarsha Achamino Ola Lifnei Zrika Chutz Chochoma. If a non-Kohen eats from an Ola before Zrika, outside the wall of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Shimon lo kachamesh. According to Rabbi Shimon, he receives five sets of malchus. Number one, he ate kachim outside Yerushalayim. Number two, he ate it before Zrika. Number three, he ate as a zar who cannot eat even after Zrika. Number four, he ate it outside the walls of the base of Mikdash. And number five, he ate from an Ola which can never be eaten. The Gemara before clarified that Rabbi Shimon, as well as Rava, is referring to multiple prohibitions, not actual sets of malchus, since malchus cannot be derived from a kal v'chomer. The Gemara said Rava should have mentioned other prohibitions, and after the first two are answered, it asks that he should have included the prohibition taught by Rabbi Eliezer that anything whose rule is kol yel tiyeh, it shall be completely burned, including an ola, is included in that pasuk's prohibition against its consumption, osei achel. The Gemara concludes that Rava was only enumerating prohibitions derived from the specific pasuk darshan by Rabbi Shimon. Pointing to Rava's quote saying that a kohen who ate from a chatas or asham before Zrika incurs malchus because the pasuk says, "Ba'achu osam asher kupar behem," they who received atonement through them shall eat them, implying they may only be eaten after kapara, meaning after Zrika, but they may not be eaten before kapara, and lav haba mekhorase lavu, a negative commandment implied by an ase is considered a lav and incurs malchus. Rava proves, however, that a lav implied by an ase is not considered a lav. Therefore, the Gemara amends Rav's statement to be that a zar who ate from a chatas or ashim before Zrika is pater from malchus, even for a Tsar's prohibition to eat kachikachim. The pasuk before, which contrasts the Kohen's permit to eat with the Tsar's prohibition, implies koheka de karinim be ba'achul osam asher kupar behem. Wherever we can apply the words "they who received atonement through them shall eat them," meaning Kohanim can eat it, karinim be v'Tsar lo yochol kodesh. We apply the words "but a non-Kohen shall not eat, for they are holy." But wherever a Kohen may also not eat, for example, before Zrika, the Tsar's prohibition does not apply. And point number three, Belezer said in the name of Hoshaya regarding Bikurim that Hanacha, placement before the Mizbeach, is critical to the mitzvah, but the Kriya is not. The Gemara asks that this contradicts another statement of Belezer in Rabbi Hoshaya's name. Hifrish Bikurim Kodem HaChag. If one separated Bikurim before Sukkos, Ba'avar Alehen HaChag, and Sukkos passed without the Bikurim being brought, Yirkavu, they are left to rot. Since they were initially eligible for Kriya before Sukkos, the period of joy mentioned in the Pasuk, and now they are not eligible for Kriya, the mitzvah can no longer be performed. This proves that Kriya is essential to Bikurim. The Gemara answers that this follows Rabbi Zera's principle, Koharui Labila, any mincha fit for mixing the flour and oil, in Bila Ma'akevesbo, the mixing is not critical and the mincha is valid without it. But any mincha which is unfit for mixing because of an incorrect proportion of flour to oil, Bila Ma'akevesbo, the mixing is critical to it and the mincha is invalid. Here too, although actual Kriya is not essential to Bikurim, if it's not eligible for Kriya, the Bikurim become disqualified. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Yud Ches, and our standard Siman is a chuppah, because Ben Yud Ches will chuppah. Someone who's 18 should go to chuppah. So here goes. At the chuppah position, partially inside and partially outside the wall of Yerushalayim, where a Tsar wedding guest was informed he transgressed five prohibitions for eating an ola before Zrika outside the walls, while a Tsar who ate from a chattis before Zrika inside the walls was pater, were Bikurim, which became ineligible for Kriya after Sukkos, that were left to rot. Once again, slow motion. At the chuppah, that must be on daf Yud Ches. At the chuppah position, partially inside and partially outside the walls of Yerushalayim, where a Tsar wedding guest was informed he transgressed five prohibitions for eating an ol before Zrika outside the walls, which reminds us, Rava said, Tsar sha'achim in ol ifnei Zrika chutz l'choma. If a non-Kohen eats from an ol before Zrika outside the wall of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Shimon loka chamesh. According to Rabbi Shimon, he receives five sets of malchus. Number one, he ate kachim outside Yerushalayim. Number two, he ate it before Zrika. Number three, he ate as a Tsar who cannot eat even after Zrika. Number four, he ate it outside the walls of the base of Mikdash. And five, he ate from an ola which can never be eaten. The Gemara before clarified that Rabbi Shimon, as well as Rava, is referring to multiple prohibitions, not actual sets of malchus, since malchus cannot be derived from a Kal Vachomer. So, at the chuppah position partially inside and partially outside the walls of Yerushalayim, where a Tsar wedding guest was informed he transgressed five prohibitions for eating an ola before Zrika outside the walls, while a Tsar who ate from a chattis before Zrika inside the walls was pater, which reminds us, a Tsar is pater for eating from a chattis or ashem before Zrika. So at the chuppah position partially inside and partially outside the walls of Yerushalayim, where a Tsar wedding guest was informed he transgressed five prohibitions for eating an ol before Zrika outside the walls, while a Tsar who ate from a chattis before Zrika inside the walls was pater, were Bikurim which became ineligible for Kriya after Sukkos that were left to rot, which reminds us, Bikurim which became ineligible for Kriya are left to rot. This follows Rabbi Zera's principle, Korug Labila, any mincha fit for mixing the flour and oil, Ein Bila Ma'akevesbo, the mixing is not critical, and the mincha is valid without it. But any mincha which is unfit for mixing because of an incorrect proportion of flour to oil, Bila Ma'akevesbo, the mixing is critical to it, and the mincha is invalid. Here too, although actual Kriya is not essential to Bikurim, if it's not eligible for Kriya, the Bikurim become disqualified. So once again, at the chuppah position partially inside and partially outside the walls of Yerushalayim, where a Tsar wedding guest was informed he transgressed five prohibitions for eating an ola before Zrika outside the walls, while a Tsar who ate from a chattis before Zrika inside the walls was pater, were Bikurim, which became ineligible for Kriya after Sukkos, that were left to rot. All right, so now it's time for a four blah blah chazara. Daf Yodalit. So the Siman Daf Yodalit is a yad, a hand, and we use a juggler for the Siman. So here goes. The wicked juggler. Juggler? That must be on Daf Yudalad, yud, hand. The wicked juggler who juggled three pink balls with the word sister on them over the heads of three separate karbanas using just one hand, which reminds us, on the previous daf, Rabbi Yitzchak said one does not receive malchus for averos with a karas penalty, which he darshans from the superfluous karas written by his sister. The Gemara ultimately explains what the rabban hold it teaches. Achayva achosa shi achos aviv shi achos imo, to obligate him in three separate karbanas for relations with his sister who is also his father's sister and also his mother's sister. This is possible in the case of Rishia Bar Rishia, a wicked person, son of a wicked person. So the wicked juggler who juggled three pink balls with the word sister on them over the heads of three separate karbanas using just one hand was getting malchus for being tummy and touching kodesh with his other hand, which reminds us the mission on the previous daf taught that a tummy person who ate kodeshim foods receives malchus. Amoraim disagree on the source of the Hazara. Rish Lakish says it's from Bekol Kodesh Hosiga, she shall not touch any sacred food while she's tummy, which refers to eating. Yochan derives it from a gzer shava of tumasu tumaso from a tamei who went to the Migdash. The Gemara asks that Reish Lakish uses this pasuk for a different prohibition. Tamei shenaga b'kodesh. If a tamei person touched kachim foods, Reish Lakish says he receives malchus based on the pasuk, b'kol kodesh hosiga, he shall not touch any sacred food. So the wicked juggler who juggled three pink balls with the word sister on them over the heads of three separate karbanas using just one hand was getting malchus for being tamei and touching kodesh with his other hand while eating kachim meat before the zrikas adam, which reminds us if a tamei person ate kachim meat before the throwing of the carbon's blood on the mizbeach. Reish Lakish says he receives malchus because b'kol kodesh hosiga prohibits a tamei from eating kachim whether before or after zrika. Reish Lakish says he does not receive malchus because he derived the azar for eating kachim from a gezer shava, and the pasuk of tumaso is discussing kachim which may be eaten by a tahar, meaning after zrika. Daf Tezvav. So the Zimmer Daf Tezvav relates to Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl. So here goes. The tummy man holding the fruit bowl, that must be on Daf Tezvav. Tu B'Shvat, fruit bowl. The tummy man holding the fruit bowl, who had been whipped for violating the losase of not entering the Mikdash tummy, which is preceded by an ase, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol losase shekadmu ase lo kinolav. Regarding any negative commandment preceded by an ase, one receives malchus for transgressing it. Although one can avoid malchus for a lav hanita ko ase, where the ase was given to correct the violation of the lav, an ase which precedes the lav does not exempt one from malchus. So the tummy man holding the fruit bowl who had been whipped for violating the losase of not entering the mikdash tummy, which is preceded by an ase, presented it to a zanusa whom he had divorced to get her to remarry him to avoid another malchus, which reminds us, a braisa teaches onus shigirish, one who violated a basula, and after marrying her as required, he divorced her. Then if he's a Yisrael who may remarry her, maxir vein aloka, he remarries her and does not receive malchus. Since the ase to marry the anusa precedes the love to divorce her, he should receive malchus. Rava eventually answers, kol yama ba'amud v'hechzer, all his days he is subject to the commandment to arise and remarry her. The Torah's superfluous phrase, not to divorce her, all his days, teaches that if he does divorce her, she cannot remain divorced all his days, and he must remarry her. This ase follows the love. So the tummy man holding the fruit bowl who had been whipped for violating the los ase of not entering the mikdash tame, which is preceded by an ase, presented it to a zanusa whom he had divorced to get her to remarry him, to void another malchus, not knowing that he would not be loka unless he made it impossible to fulfill the ase of remarrying her, which reminds us, someone quoted a brace regarding a lav hanita ko ase with contradictory implications. It said that if the transgressor fulfilled the ase afterwards, he is exempt from malchus, implying that merely failing to fulfill it would incur malchus. Yet it concludes that if he nullified the ase, he receives malchus, implying he only receives malchus if he makes it impossible to fulfill the ase. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan told him to amend his braisa to teach bitul of lo bitul. If he nullified the ase, he is liable, and if he did not nullify it, he is exempt. Reish Lakish held to amend it the opposite way, kimu v'lo kimu. If he fulfilled it when ordered by Beis Din, he is exempt, and if he did not fulfill it, he is liable. Daf Tezayin. So the Zimmer Daf Tezayin is toes, and we often use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The man who heard the acrobat with large toes, that must be on Daf Tezayin. The man who heard the acrobat with large toes make a shavua to do a double flip today and warned him he'll get malchus if he doesn't get around to it, since hasra safik shma hasra, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a malchus if hasra safik shma hasra. So the man who heard the acrobat with large toes make a shavua to do a double flip today and warned him he'll get malchus if he doesn't get around to it, since hasra safik shma hasra, didn't notice another acrobat grab a motherbird from its young and kill it, nullifying the ase, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan says that a lav nitak la'ase, where one can practically receive malchus because he holds bitul v'lo bitul, meaning one only receives malchus for a lav nitak la'ase if he nullifies the possibility to fulfill the ase, is in the case of a shulcha kain by killing the mother bird. So the man who heard the acrobat with large toes make a shavuot to do a double flip today and warned him he'll get malchus if he doesn't get around to it, since Hasra Safik Shema Hasra didn't notice another acrobat grab a mother bird from his young and kill it, nullifying the assay, while his partner intentionally ate a hornet in midair, flying above six whips, which reminds the Gemara brings the number of malchus one receives for eating various creeping creatures. Eating an ant incurs five sets, two for the general prohibitions and three more for the land shares prohibitions. Eating a hornet incurs six sets because of the additional prohibition of sheretz ha'ov, a creeping thing which flies. Daf Yud Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car. So here goes. The used car salesman, that must be on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who tried convincing a customer named Shimon that a scratch on the car was less significant than a kol shu of teva flour, which incurs malchus, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if Rav Shimon's malchus for a kol shu is only for a chita, because of bria, or even kemach. The Gemara concludes that Rav Shimon would obligate malchus for a kol shu of flour. This position is supported by Brison, which Rav Shimon says, kol shu lamakos, any minimal amount suffices for incurring malchus. L'amru kazayis ela inyan karbon, they only spoke of requiring a kazayis regarding having to bring a carbon. So the used car salesman who tried convincing a customer named Shimon that a scratch on the car was less significant than a kol shu of teva flour, which incurs malchus, and whose policy was the only important thing is putting down the cash, and that reading the contract is a ma'akev, just like Bikurim, which reminds us, Gemara brings a malchokas if kriya is ma'akev for Bikurim. So the used car salesman who tried convincing a customer named Shimon that a scratch on the car was less significant than a kol shu of teva flour, which incurs malchus, and whose policy was the only important thing is putting down the cash, and that reading the contract isn't ma'akev, just like Bikurim, flattered his customer, saying every mother should give birth to a Shimon, even though ain mazirin min adin, which reminds us that the conclusion of Rabbi Shimon's braisa, Rava marveled, everyone's mother giving birth should daven that she should give birth to one like Rabbi Shimon, and if not, she shouldn't give birth. This despite the fact that every kal vachomer advanced by Rabbi Shimon can be challenged, as Rava proceeds to explain. The Gemara clarifies Rava's declaration. The Gemara wonders how Rabbi Shimon can obligate malchus on the basis of a kal vachomer. V'chi mazirin min adin, can we establish a prohibition with malchus based on the kal vachomer? Even according to the opinion that onshin min adin, we can establish punishment for a known prohibition based on a kal vachomer, he agrees that ein mazirin min adin. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which of the when the Rav Yochanan said kol lo sase shekdamu ase lo kin olav, regarding any negative commandment preceded by an ase, one receives malchus for transgressing it. That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number two, which Daf the when Azar is pata for eating from a chatos or ashem before zrika? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number three, which of the when Rabbi Kiva holds chayvi mises based and cannot also receive malchus because the pasuk says kedei rishaso? That's on Daf Yud Gemo. Good. Number four, which of the when the bikurim which became ineligible for kriya are left to rot based on the principle of korui labila? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number five, which Daf do we malchus if kriya is ma'akev for bikurim? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number six, which Daf do we have three opinions regarding killing a rotseach who left the Ir Miklat? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number seven, which Daf do we discuss if Rabbi Shimon's malchus for a kol shehu is only for chita because of bria or even kemach? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number eight, which Daf do we know about the mistake of Yoav who held onto the horns of the Mizbeach thinking it would save him? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number nine, which Daf do you learn that there are five prohibitions for a single consumption of kashim meat? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 10, which Daf do you learn that one of the two cases of a lav and nitek la'asi which can come to malchus is shuluch ha'kein, where the person nullifies the mitzvah by killing the mother bird? That's on Daf Tezayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.